Welcome to episode 6 of WP Mainline for Thursday, August 5th, 2021. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by the lovely, talented, beautiful John James Jacoby, who is probably thinking to himself, TGIT.
I'm thinking to myself that...
Is that Tuesday or is it Thursday? I think it's Thursday.
Thursday is Thursday. Every compliment that you give me, I feel like... just you put it on my tab and I owe it to you at the end of the year. And then I'm like, hey Jeff, I can't afford to pay the compliment tab this year again. So just let it ride. But thank you. It's good to see you. I mean, hear you. I'm glad that we're recording again. Have I said that yet? It's always good to hear your voice.
I think you have. And by the way, this week, if you noticed, you know, last week we had Tin Can John. This week, you've got full-bodied, this is what I like to hear, John.
This is what I like to hear, too, a story about last week. It was, I listened to it. It was pretty terrible. So this will be like a redo without Chris. Sorry, Chris, but it was a good show last week. This week's going to be different, though, it sounds like. It's just me and you.
Yeah, so I'm looking at my show notes, and it's just a blank page. You know, actually, it was a bit of a rough week for me. No, I thought I'd start off by saying, you know, if you pay attention to me on Twitter, and that's at Jeffro, JEFFR0, you'll notice that from time to time I'll mention that, you know, I'm dealing with anxiety and I'm having a rough time and I'm having a rough go of it. And I thought maybe I'd kind of explain or try and describe what it is I mean when I say that I have anxiety or it's tough. And for me, it's like, it's this feeling of like this, it's a combination of like nervousness, excitement. It's weird because, you know, I spend the day, sometimes I spend the day with this anxiety. It's like, actually it's kind of hard to describe, I guess, now that I'm kind of thinking about it and talking about it, but it's, what ends up happening is I spend time and energy and focus on trying to remain calm, trying to remain even keel, because what wants to happen is my heart rate wants to increase, which provides labored breathing. And then if it escalates beyond that, my blood pressure rises, then I get all hot and bothered and sweaty and, you know, don't get too excited there, John, this is not the good kind. And, you know, it becomes a hot mess and it's terrible. And I end up, you know, it's weird. Like I actually had to cancel a couple of interviews that I had scheduled for this week because the anxiety, I spend so much time focusing on that and trying to remain even keel that it becomes disabling. You know, it disables me from being able to do what I want to do because I can't sit here. I can't focus on other things. I can't write. I can't concentrate on what I need to get done because I'm so focused on just being even keel, concentrating on my breathing. I'm like, I'm really focused on like how my heart feels, how it's beating. Is it beating too fast? Don't know. I need to calm down, take a deep breath. You know, and I actually, what I end up doing is like, the Vicks Vapor Rub, you know, you're supposed to use that during the winter time when you're sick. It kind of helps you. It just has this nice cooling sensation. I end up putting some of that around the nostrils, my nose. And what happens is that cooling effect, it opens it up and makes it easier for me to breathe and actually helps me during these times of dealing with like higher anxiety. It actually eases the whole breathing process. It's kind of weird. I have this, the anxiety issue. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, is it really just, maybe I have a cardiovascular problem, you know, maybe I have a breathing problem. Maybe there's something going on there, but I become so self-conscious about the breathing and everything. And sometimes when I take a deep breath or I'm trying to breathe and it doesn't work as smoothly, or I feel like I'm struggling, that right there could set a chain of events in motion where I start panicking.
Definitely.
And then I'm like, and then I got to go take the medicine and calm down again. And I don't know what's going on. 2019 me, fine. Didn't have any problems whatsoever. Get through 2020. 2020 is when I had my first, what I believe to be anxiety attack. I had to go to the emergency room, never went inside, but found out that it was pretty much a genuine anxiety attack. And a lot of heart attacks actually are misdiagnosed. Or I should say, anxiety attacks are misdiagnosed as heart attacks because they generally have the same symptoms. But you know, now 2021 me, it's like just a, it's just a struggle for me now to go out, to drive, to muster up the abilities to do things that I used to do, but it's just become so much more difficult. And, you know, it sucks for my wife because she can't help me. She says, you know, what can I do to help you? And I said, there is nothing you can do to help me. And she's ended up having to do a lot of things by herself. Like I can't go out with her and do things as much as I used to. It's a real pain in the ass. I'm still trying to right now, 2021 me is just at the point of living with it, learning to cope with it, learning to deal with it, learning to do what I can with it. And it's just a pain in the ass.
Well, it's we should preface most of what we're talking about here with like the obvious disclaimer that we are not healthcare professionals and that we're trying to figure it out. Right. And so I think you're doing what is like a very natural and normal thing for most people to do is you're self-medicating, frankly. And for some people that's there's a history of addiction and there's my family history has some of that. And you're just using Vicks vapor rub on your nostrils for now. Right. So it's, you're trying different things to find comfort. And that's, I think, a very normal sort of thing to try, but like what you're experiencing is a chronic condition. And I think that like the value of seeing professionals, just like software developers or designers or UX folks and everyone else, is a healthcare professional or a mental health professional helps put an accurate name on some of the things that you're experiencing. And that from that point, you can kind of you have a better chance of reacting to the things that you're experiencing in a healthy and positive way instead of
I don't want to become some pill pusher.
Well, and like pill popper. With me, I mean that my family has a history of addiction and anxiety and all of those things, and so I feel like I can relate in a lot of ways, but.
My mom was actually, my parents were in town from Utah last weekend, and man, it was awesome getting able to hug them and see them after 2 years because of this whole pandemic, and I was cooking food for them. But my mom, so she's been dealing with anxiety for a long time. She says it's heretical.
Hereditary?
Hereditary. That's right. Yes. Heretical. Yeah. I'm making up new words on the show, but she says it runs in the family. But you know, it's never been an issue for me until last year and this year. And I think the pandemic had a lot to do with it.
I think it did too. I think and the isolation for a lot of folks is new and is not a thing that they're comfortable with. And
I've been reading articles where like people going through the pandemic, it's actually rewired their brain. And that's caused a lot of the anxiety and stuff. And what happens is you have to go through some processes, which maybe talking to mental health providers and healthcare providers would help with that, or a therapist probably. And you have to like decouple those neuron connections and rewire your brain to like pre-pandemic levels.
Well, I think like we are realizing that like saying it out loud, confessing these things to the world, to your friends, to listeners in a podcast like this, like there is a version of therapy that this helps you, right? Like sharing your feelings, saying them out loud is helpful, but and like to different unique people, because you're going to get a different response than maybe the friends that you have that you're close to, or the people that you live with, or your family, or whoever else. And so that's, I think, like talking about it with our listeners like this is its own version of therapy for folks like perhaps you and maybe me, where you get to share some experiences with people that maybe don't know you that way, or that don't think of you that way, or instead of just being a radio personality that they're happy to tune into, you get a little bit of the human side, which is we're all trying to figure it out as we go and doing our best. So I think episodes like this are good. I mean, in our pre-show,
listening to talking to John, that's my therapy.
Having you make me feel uncomfortable and make awkward Awkward advances in my general direction is my therapy, Jeff. I really appreciate it. It makes me feel important and valued. But like we were talking about in the in our pre-show back and forth is like when every time I go to the doctor and I go for whatever it is I'm going for, and they part of what my general practitioner does now, which I'm assuming that they've done for a very long time, is they ask you a bunch of questions to try and gauge effectively whether or not you are suffering from depression. And every time I basically fail this test with like flying terrible black and white colors. Like the doctor says, yeah, you're definitely suffering from depression. I'm like, I know, but that's the world is a depressing, terrible place.
Oh, well, I guess that explains your tweets.
Well, that's since you brought it up, right? Like that's, it is a thing that like I've probably had for a long time. But I don't know how to get out of it. So when you're talking about, or whether or not I'm even capable of getting out of it, and part of it for me, I can kind of pinpoint some things. But like the most annoying things for me about like the things that make me feel the most down, aside from just like the state of the world and everything being on fire and everything being underwater at the same time, and just like human suffering and mass hysteria just is depressing in by itself. But like part of it for me is like, I think it's probably 2009 or 10. And I had an ear infection that has sort of left my right ear sort of feeling like it's got weird pressure in it all the time. Ooh. And so it kind of just bothers me no matter what I do. It doesn't really hurt, but it's kind of just always there. And so after a while, I kind of just wish it would stop, but it doesn't. And then I think we've talked about in previous shows, like, and we've talked about with Mark Benzekin before, but like, and him and I have talked about it pretty deeply, but like the daily chronic headaches and migraines.
Oh yeah.
I just feel like a different person because of them, and they kind of ruin everything. And so having gone down the rabbit hole of a bunch of different medications and experimenting with a bunch of different things to try and figure them out and tune them and do this, that, and the other thing with them, like it's exhausting and it's expensive and it is depressing by itself because no one seems to really be able to answer any questions about any of it. And you sort of, there's a stigma behind doing your own internet research and trying to figure out what it is that you may or may not be suffering from, because the integrity of the data there is questionable. And so with any chronic condition, I don't care if it's headaches or if it's anxiety or if it's arthritis or if it's whatever it is, most of these kinds of things are not, they impact everyone around you. And you cannot get out of them on your own, and the people around you cannot get, they can't really help you. And so
yep.
You know that you're sort of bringing everyone down around you. That's not a good feeling. And so then it's just sort of perpetually negative. And the ultimately, like, all of this is to say that, like, I'm fairly confident that like the only real solution is just like getting up off your butt and like going for a walk or a run and just like eating better and being healthier.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, most of that stuff will probably sort of repair itself over a long enough period of time. But like the abyss that you are stuck in, sort of makes that impossible. Like the physical pain, the emotional anxiety of it all, the every ache or pain that you feel or that comes through, there's just so many things that prevent you from doing the thing that you need to do to fix the problem. And all of the things that your body tells you you need to do, like rest and go to bed and stop thinking about it and take some deep breaths. Like, they almost make it worse. So you sleep too much. You think about things too much. You do too much research instead of just picking up a shovel.
You think every little ache or pain in your chest area is the heart exploding.
Uh-huh. That's true. That's true. Like, and that was one of the things with my headache meds was, the side effects were, they were all of them were worse than the headache. It was like, well, I guess I just, and it's come up a lot because of COVID and because of the side effects of COVID and is the brain fog of it. And my headache started years ago. I've tried to self-medicate with them. I've tried everything else, that everyone else would try. But there's
quite a bit of research that's come out recently about people who have had COVID or are dealing with long COVID, that brain fog is absolutely one of the common things that people are going through. COVID is significantly affecting the the brain.
Yep,
it's the brain fog, the way the brain's wired.
And for me, and we've talked about it on the show, and it sort of feels very stupid to bring up, and Carrie's heard me bring it up 1,000 times, and so I'm a little bit of a broken record to her and Mark, who I mentioned earlier. But the brain fog for me is almost like, is like 99% connected to like my intake of caffeine, like almost completely. And so like,
you should stay away from sparkling water.
Well, and so like there's like a joke from John Mulaney who I'm going to butcher, but the punchline is like that he went through all of college like not drinking water, you know, like he went years just having like beer or alcohol and like didn't have any water. And like, but like when if I sit and like if I chug a thing of water, like water by itself gives me a headache, and like it doesn't make any sense. And so the brain fog for me, I feel it's like a confession, but like I'm like my body physiologically is just completely addicted to caffeine in a way where like my operating window is very tight. Like I can very easily have too much of it or not enough of it. And the side effects for both are kind of the same, where like I just feel ill and like I need to lie down and I can't concentrate and I have a terrible time. But if I don't have any caffeine at all, and I went probably the past, not, I went most of 2020 and most of 2019, like probably almost all of both of those years, like zero caffeine, like almost zero, probably legitimately no caffeine at all in anything, like no chocolate, like avoided it as much as it was possible to avoid it. And like felt like death, like every day, like couldn't think, like always lethargic, like just.
So did you get to the point where you said, well, I tried it for 2 years and it ain't working. Yeah. I'm going back to the caffeine.
And so what happened was there's a group of friends that I've got that are like in real life friends that are not WordPress folks, that that we go and we get our haircut once a month together, and then we have lunch. And so we went to this Thai place, and my two friends ordered some Thai tea, and I was like, oh, it looks amazing. Is like, and they were like, dude, it's so good, you have to try this Thai tea. And I look, and it's like it's black tea and spices, and so it's relatively high caffeine content, and but it's super sweet and super sugary. And I was like, okay, I mean, I'm with friends and we're celebrating, so it's been 2 years, I'm done, I'm fine, well, I'll try the Thai tea. And so you know, have Thai tea, have lunch, eat, and then like within minutes of like driving home, I didn't have the like rush of being jacked on caffeine. I just felt normal, like for the first time in years, where I was like, well, this is really embarrassing that like I'm basically an addict and my drug is caffeine.
Oh.
And I need it in order to function like a normal person. And so I was like, okay, well, now I can kind of confirm for like my like soft, squishy body that like it needs this thing in it in order to get the job done. And so I started drinking caffeine again, but I did what everyone does, like you talked about, is like I started drinking coffee. And the coffee, I have problems with the acidity of most coffee. And so, yeah, I get the caffeine effect, but then I feel like gross, like acid refluxy and just like not comfortable with coffee. And then,
you know, with me, I've tried to cut out as much caffeine as I can, except for the only really caffeinated drinks I can drink now is for some reason, Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. which I drink has caffeine in it, but it's not, it's like 20 or 30 milligrams in a can or something mm-hmm. to that effect, which is weird. I've at one point I had like one of those little bottles of Dr. Pepper and it had 33 milligrams of caffeine per bottle. Mm-hmm. And like soon after I had that Dr. Pepper, I started having feelings of, oh no, a panic, you know, an anxiety attack because it jacks up the heart rate and everything. So,
yeah, it does.
But with Coca-Cola, I'm fine. So it's weird, right? I don't know.
So I feel like
I tell you what, I haven't had a Mountain Dew in 3 years, like 2 years.
So that was what I went to, because I went to regular old Mountain Dew because the darker colas and sodas seem to be a headache trigger for me. And so if it's the coloring or the whatever it is,
caramel food coloring.
Yeah. And so the like Mountain Dew, like even like a root beer would give me a headache. And so. Yeah. So I stay away from the darker colored fake sort of sodas, but there's so much sugar and caffeine in a Mountain Dew that like, and I don't drink that. I don't like chug them. I would basically sip on a half a can a day or something. Like I wouldn't even really be drinking that much. And like some days if I'm really thirsty or like, sure, maybe I'd have more than one, but it's never been like a high volume amount of it. The long story short is now I've settled on matcha, which like matcha teas, mostly just green tea, all ground up and put it in some oat milk or something. And like, now I feel like I'm learning how to tune it, or I can measure it out.
Yeah.
I can control the dosage. I can time it so that I can keep track of when I'm not feeling well and whether or not I'm going to need some more. But I feel like it's also variable. Like where you can track it a million times and then have a diary of your life for 20 years trying to figure out the ups and downs and the pros and cons of it. But so much of it is based on your metabolism, how much activity you had in the day and the weather and the humidity. And like, it sounds like it's enough to give you anxiety if you don't already have it. Right. Like, and so I think that my tie back for this long, dumb story is like, I've feel like it's all sort of connect, like this is just my anxiety, my hereditary anxiety is manifesting itself through its addiction to caffeine. Like that's like, instead of being like afraid to go outside or afraid to get stuff done or afraid of confrontation or like whatever, I keep using the word afraid, but I don't mean afraid, in general, just like instead of those things, I'm choosing to focus on like the one thing that I can control that is making me feel bad, that I feel that will return some positive results if I get it right. And so I think like anxiety and the world right now and isolation for folks that aren't used to being isolated and uncertainty of the direction that a company that you work for might go or the job that you have or everything, right? I mean, there's just so much in our world, but also just sort of hyper-focused in our industry of WordPress that that there is to choose to be anxious about. And I think that that's like some of this, even though it's easier said than done, like part of it is sort of a choice. Like you kind of have to make the choice to look at things positively, even when it sucks. I know, like, and everyone knows it sucks, that like, that I think that there are many people that can just choose to be positive about it or have it not bother them. And I am not one of those people. And so I think that's where I get the reputation of like being disruptive or being against the grain or, you know, whatever else, or in general, just being negative and Eeyore and depressed about all these things is like, it is, I don't have that in me. Like, I don't have that muscle in my body to flex, to be like, hey, this sucks and it's going to be okay. Instead, it is like, this sucks and we all know why it sucks, and we can make it better. Like, it sucks because we made it suck, and we can just make it not suck. And so it's more or less, it's just like, I just want mommy and daddy to stop fighting. I just want to fix the problem so that we can move on to fixing other, better, different, more important things, or like I want to resolve all, like, we can point at the problem here. Like I can point at my headaches, but I can't fix them because I'm not qualified. But for issues with WordPress or Gutenberg or business issues or marketing issues, like, these are things that I have experience with that I feel like I comprehend fairly well, but like, I can point at and say, like, we can fix these problems with one another. But then the problem Gary Pendergast had tweeted about, which we went back and forth on a little bit, is like, when you're not positive, when you have a perception of, in the world, of being negative or disruptive or being hard to work with, is it instantly discredits you, and it instantly makes everyone around you on edge or cautious or uncomfortable to work with you, whether or not you are right or wrong. And so it is easier to like, to be well liked and popular and be not good. It's like, you're better off being bad at what you do and having people like you than like being amazing at it and having like it's like one of the Linux philosophies I've talked about before, like, it's got to be popular before it's good. And somehow there's like a paradox there, but like, WordPress got popular before it was very good. And like anything, right? Like Slack and everything else.
By the way,
like
Zoom, 29 minutes into the show, we finally mentioned the word WordPress.
I'm trying to bring it back. I'm doing my best.
Is it, you know, you mentioned this pandemic. I got to tell you, this time last year, I'm in full lockdown. I'm scared. I stopped watching the news. I stopped watching the headlines, all of that crap, because I started, and then I was hyper focused on, oh my, can I still smell stuff? Can I still taste things? You know, I don't want to get COVID no matter what. I'm not going outside. Stay away from me, people. I mean, I was already kind of social distancing as it was, but you know, not everybody had to do it. But you know, last year we had no vaccines. We were locked down and we were wondering, when are we going to get vaccines? How soon is it going to be? I can't wait to get the vaccine. I can't wait to get back to normal. Well, here we are like a year later, and by golly, it seems like we're way worse off now than we were last year. And we have vaccines. I mean, you've got the Delta variant. You've got people who are attending parties where everybody at the party is vaccinated, but yet, you know, 11 out of 15 of them get COVID. Mm-hmm. And you've got these breakthrough variants that are going on. You've got the unvaccinated who, for whatever reason, pick any number of the stupid reasons or whatever beliefs that they have. You know, you've got the unvaccinated, you've got the vaccinated, you've got vaccinated who is getting asymptomatic symptoms, or, you know, they can spread COVID so much, the Delta variant, so much more easily than the regular one. I mean, it's just crazy. And it feels like we're about to get into lockdown status. Yeah, I know with my wife's employment, at the grocery store, they finally just now said, that's it. Masks are going back on for the workers. I've already started. I'm putting the mask back on. I just don't want to get sick. I hate being, when I have a cold, I hate having a cold. I hate the sniffles. I hate just being sick in general. I definitely don't want to have anything to do with COVID if I can help it. But I just, man, you know, we're just talking about around this time last year, Sturgis, you know, they had this huge motorcycle rally and there was a live webcam there at this point last year. And it was like as if COVID wasn't even a thing. There were thousands of people that descended upon Sturgis, South Dakota. And guess what? They're on their way up there to do it again this year. And it's even worse than last year. But man, I just, it just feels like, and then you've got west of the Rockies is a tinderbox. They're dry. Everything's burning. East of the Rockies, you've got a bunch of, you know, it won't stop raining. You've got, I don't want to go into it because then everything that we've talked about that you could think about just rises anxiety levels. But
it does.
Man,
it totally does.
It just feels like you're so much worse. I feel like we should be better. We should be at a point. It's disappointing to me because as a society, as a human race, as people of this country and as part of the world, this could have been dealt with. It could be so much less worse than it is had we all done the responsible thing when we could. And that's and it's at all levels of government and individual personal responsibility.
Well, that's like, that's sort of how I feel.
And when you start thinking about all that, it's like, oh no, I'm getting depressing again.
But it is. That's exactly right. Like that's what depresses me about not just COVID. You hit the nail on the head, not just with COVID, but with everything, like with WordPress or local government or national government or the world economy. Like if more of us were more involved and more of us participated in the discussion that was happening, then I maybe in theory the things would be different or better.
And no, if you would have won the election for East Troy, there would be no COVID there. I just know it.
That is the promise that I would make to my people, Jeff. You'd 100%. No, but like I've said this before and to real life people, but like there are a lot of people that don't participate in local government related things because they have businesses locally. They have kids locally that go to school, that have friends, that have relationships and play sports together. And like their whole lives are part of their community. And so there is significant risk in them sharing their opinions on anything because people will stop going to their business. They will ruin their friendships with that their kids have. They will get kicked out of sports and stuff because like their whole life and livelihood, their mortgage payment revolves around like maintaining relationships in their local community. And so because Carrie and I don't have kids, because my business doesn't revolve around my local community, because this is a place that I care about and where I'm from, I kind of feel like I have an obligation to participate in the tough dialogue and discussion that like for the people that I know privately that would say things if they could. And so not that I am willing to say and speak for people that are comfortable with me doing so, even if it's an opinion that I do not personally agree with, because I think that like all of these opinions and perspectives are important. And it is the culmination of all of them that we mash up and together and we turn into a soup and then we come out with something in the middle that sort of works for everyone. And when folks don't speak up and because they're afraid, because it's unsafe, because it is risky, because of physical, mental, psychological harm that could happen from speaking up with their opinions, they just don't. It is easier, it is safer not to participate in those conversations. And I don't care if we're talking about COVID or sexism or racism or money laundering or Bitcoin or whatever, like everyone's sort of perspectives on everything that is going on are the things that change the direction and shape where it is that we should and could go. And by saying nothing at all, that guarantees that will, your voice, what your opinions, what you want to happen will not happen. It guarantees it. And so if we all participated, if we all took more care in having these kinds of conversations, we maybe would be in a better, healthier sort of place. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. That's sort of just how I feel about it.
I don't think you're wrong. I think one of the tough conversations that we speak of, whether it's COVID or whatnot, is how many white males are allowed to podcast in the WordPress space. Now, I mentioned this last week that we're going to talk about it, and I guess today's good a time as ever to, well, what happened was I mentioned an idea that I wanted to start another podcast that featured casual conversations and interviews. I kind of wanted to separate it out from this show. Mm-hmm. And the interviews that I did for WordPress Weekly were some of the best things I think that I ever did on that show. And, you know, you get to learn a lot about somebody, and what this would allow me to do would just to have those interviews, have casual conversations, and I can ask the Jeffro questions that I usually ask, you know, the weird ones, and, you know, we can get away. We can have a good time. We can get away with it. But so I put this idea out on Twitter, and Jason Casper reached out to me and said, you know, he's had a similar idea for a podcast. He's just looking for kind of the right format and the right people to do it. And he said, but before you create that podcast, ask yourself, do we need another white male hosting a WordPress podcast in the space? And if the, you know, maybe you think about that. The answer shouldn't be, you know, no. You know, if the answer is no, then, you know, maybe you should leave that space open for someone else. So I actually thought about what he said. It struck a number of chords with me. And so I sat there and I thought about it for about an hour, hour and a half, let things ruminate in my head. And then I said, I have to get things out of my head and participate in a difficult conversation. So I wrote up a post about my thoughts and feelings of being a white male and doing a podcast. And it, there's a lot of things to kind of unpack here, but, you know, the bottom line is, A, I feel like, and I've actually received private comments from people saying, you know, hey, nice job on the post. You know, I'm glad you wrote what you did. I could never get away with writing something like that, no matter how nuanced. And I had, trust me, I had butterflies in my stomach before I hit the post button. But, you know, the WordPress space, is the ecosystem, the market share, everything is large enough and spread out enough across the world to the point where having there should not be a limitation on podcast hosts in the WordPress space based on color and nationality. Just because, you know, there's 10, 11, 12, 15 other WordPress podcasts out there that are produced and hosted by a white male doesn't mean there can't be a 16th or a 17th. If that's what they're passionate about and that's what they want to do and that's what they want to try and make a living doing, why should they be prevented from doing that because they're a white male? It makes no sense. I mean, come on. I mean, what's the big deal? Now, I say that with the realization that white males dominate a lot of spaces. You'll see them in tech. You'll see them in very high roles in companies. They're everywhere. And it is a problem. There needs to be more females, more female representation. There needs to be more females and underrepresented groups of people in positions of power in companies, and just there needs to be more representation, inclusivity, diversity throughout all fields of tech, just throughout all fields of life. And I'm acutely aware of that. I'm acutely aware of my position and what I'm doing here on this show with John and with Malcolm, two other white males that are part of the podcast. But I enjoy doing this show. I enjoy having them as my co-host. And this is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the show my way. So I've decided that I'm going to go ahead and do that show, the podcast, because I want to do it. I want to try and make a living doing it. I'm interested in doing it. I'm good at it. And there should be no artificial limitation on whether I can do it or not based on being white. And to take this a little step further, you know, I listened to AM Talk Radio, and I was listening to the radio host yesterday, and he made a point to the fact that it's gotten, and I kind of agree with him. It's gotten to the point now where if you're white, and I think this goes for females and males, I think particularly males, but if you're white, you are now the enemy. You're just because you're white, that's it. You're a bad person. You're part of the reality that we're in now, whether it's good or bad, but it's just like, I'm thinking, you know, what, it wasn't my choice. I didn't choose my skin color. I'm just trying to make a living. I'm trying to get by. I'm trying to do what I think so many of us are trying to do, and that's get by, make a living, have a sustainable life. And you know, to me, race and color, I mean, I'm not even thinking, none of that even matters to me. You know, I'm just trying to get by. But for me to be, I understand the white privilege and all of that stuff. I'm acutely aware of what's going on in society and certain aspects of it. And I feel like for me, the best way I can help and be a part of that is to build a platform, build it as high as I can with this show, with the other show, with WP Mainline, and then elevate other voices when possible. And that's really, to me, the best way I feel I can participate and be an ally and help others and be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably not a surprise, but in general, I think I mostly agree with you. Like,
oh, gee, I wonder why.
I mean, right.
I mean,
that was sort of the implication. There,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it's good intentions from Cosper and everyone.
Yeah, and I'm not flaming him. I'm not saying what he brought up.
Not either.
I'm not saying what he brought up was wrong. He makes an excellent point.
Correct.
Made me think. And he's right.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
In some aspects, but in other aspects, when I think about it, it's like, but I'm not the bad guy. I don't want to be the bad guy. This is what I enjoy doing. This is what I can make a living doing. I'm good at it. Why can't I do it?
I think one of the things that we probably have in common, you and I, and I can imagine people that I know listen to the show that I would categorize similarly, is that, like, I know I have a hard time understanding the way that other people perceive me, like and what influence or power or scope that I may or may not have. And like, so I guess a good example of that is like there are people that I've known in WordPress for a very long time that, like, I would consider to be, like, we are friends, but at the same time, we haven't hung out in person for so long or that many times at all, where I don't really know how close of friends that we are or how valued that those relationships are or are supposed to be. And so I have a hard time knowing if what I'm saying or what I tweet or what I would blog about is truly resonating or being understood in the way that I intended for it to be. And and that what that means is, like, in person, I am the first person to admit that, like, this, my social awkwardness mostly just comes from, like, I don't know where we are. Like, I don't know where our relationship is. The same thing with, like, our neighbors in the neighborhood, like, these are people we've lived next to for 2 years that we've gotten to know. But I feel like every time that we hang out, that it's kind of the first time that we're hanging out, because we like enjoy each other's company and time, and like, it's all good. It's all fun and it's all a good time, but we don't really know each other that well, even though we're like comfortable with one another. And so all of that, again, is tangentially to say that, like, when it comes to us, like, deciding whether or not we're going to be whether or not we should have a show or not have a show, whether or not we should use our influence to try and level people up or not, or whether or not we're in the way by having a show and speaking our minds, and that is going to prevent other people from doing so in a similar way. Like, I don't think that those things are true, but they might be true. And if they are, then I am not the right person to identify that. Like, I would be the first person to probably screw that up, if that makes sense. Like, maybe what we're doing is actually unhelpful. Maybe it is. Maybe it is hurtful to some people somehow. But I don't think that it is. But it's like when you bring up the AM radio station you were listening to, or any of these things, is like, it is so easy to unintentionally oppress other people. Like, it happens. It's happening when someone says,
yeah, I agree with that.
It happens when someone says that maybe you shouldn't do something because of your race or sex or background or anything. Like, the second that you say, hey, maybe this isn't for you, you are unintentionally oppressing someone.
In order to lift up others, you yourself have to be oppressed.
And so are we the best people to level people up? And part of me thinks like that I'm not, right? Like, I'm,
well, a, I know I'm not.
And so my demographic of being like a married white guy with no kids means I don't have a lot of like non-white guy friends. And that's not because I don't, and I live in Wisconsin, right? So like, there's not a lot of opportunity for diversity in general, but like, I don't want to be the creepy neighbor guy who's trying to like be friends with the neighborhood children. I don't want to like be too chummy with like my, like the neighborhood, like the husbands and the wives. And like, to, like, it just, there's not a lot of opportunity to like, to make like friends that aren't just like dumb white dudes that are comfortable making each other feel uncomfortable and stuff like you and I do, Jeff. Like, it, so it, if this was if I was a different person that had different background with in a different location with different exposure and different whatever, that maybe my relationships would be different and I could organically more easily bring in other people that weren't just white guys, but that's not who I am right now. Like, maybe it was a long time ago and maybe it will be in the future. But today, most of the people that I know and talk to just happen to be those people. And so like whether or not it makes a difference or matters or not, I feel like you and I have always tried and done a good job of advertising the fact that like anyone could be on the show. And we want it to be a safe place for everyone.
And that, I mean, you and I have conversations off air about the fact, I mean, we realize we're just two white males. And if we do this show, or if we think about doing this show, you know, maybe it's not going to come across to, I mean, we're aware of the situation. We're self-aware.
And when someone tries to tell you that, like, maybe what you're doing is wrong, it also sucks to like, naturally you want to look back and go like, is it really? Like, I feel like we've done all these things right. Like, here are all the, like, it's such a dumb thing to say, but it's like when someone calls you a racist and you're like, everyone's first natural inclination is to be like, here are all of my non-white friends. Like, it sort of sucks to be put in a position to be like, maybe what you're doing is wrong. And I think is very normal for your first line of defense to be like, well, here are all of the ways that I feel like what I'm doing is fine. And like, to defend yourself. And I think that that's like sort of a normal thing, but no, I don't think that we need to, like, I think we can, but I don't think that you need to, or that we should. But I do think that if to our listeners, they should tell us, right? If what they want, if what they want is less of us and more of other people, then we should give that to them.
Whatever happened to people laughing? I mean, it seems to me like, and I mentioned this on Twitter the other day, that I'm glad, if there's one career path I'm glad I'm not in, it's being a comedian. It's trying to make people laugh, you know, and I think for comedians, there are certain people, pop culture figures, subjects that are obvious that you should probably stay away from, that that's really not joking material. But let's say you're a comedian and you want to create some new material that's out there. You want to try and differentiate yourself from other comedians. So maybe you go on that edgy, you stay on the edge and you walk that line, and then you say something that you think is fine or that's funny, and you cross the line. And I think it's really easy these days to cross that line. And it just seems like a lot of people would rather be upset and offended and angry and have pitchforks than just laugh. And laughing is so therapeutic. I mean, I try to make people laugh all the time. I try to make myself laugh. I try to make you awkward, which makes me laugh. I mean, it feels good when you laugh, especially when you have one of those laughs that almost make you cry. It feels wonderful. I mean, the endorphins and the other natural chemicals that are released in your body that make you feel good after a really good laugh. It's just amazing. Wow. And I wish that we could, that so many people would find their sense of humor. It wouldn't be so on edge all the time. It just seems like people, to me, their natural instinct is they want to be angry. They want to be upset. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Well,
it does suck. But I think so much of that comes down to, again, like where you are in your life and your ability. You're can you afford to laugh?
That's excellent question.
This is where I love stand-up comedy so much. I grew up watching late night TV and late night comedy shows, and like we all sort of grew up with sitcom TV and as comedies after school.
I grew up with Dave Letterman's Top 10 Countdown.
David Letterman and Johnny Carson and all of the oldies and everyone today, the comedy is important, but as a stand-up comedian, mostly what you hear is a lot of what we hear about WordPress stuff is everyone was poor in the beginning. Everyone was living on someone's couch. They moved to California or New York to crash, to try and make it big. And then they did, they had their moment. They got lucky, whatever it was, somebody discovered them, and now boom, there they go. And so a lot of us with WordPress stuff, maybe our listeners from before to now, maybe there are people starting now that are doing this as a side gig and a hustle, and their goal is to turn it into their main gig, and they've got very little, and this will be their stepping stone into changing their life. And it certainly was for me. But man, I love,
after the conversation we had last week about how it's so difficult for developers, new and existing, to get involved with WordPress. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is.
It's just harder. But you and I have talked about, gosh, there's so many good times at WordCamps that were just hilarious, that were just so funny, that I think that comes from comfortability. It comes from being comfortable with people that you've known or that you trust or that trust you, to be vulnerable and to be weird and to be in a place where you can control Z if something goes wrong. You can undo a problem that you're in together. And it will be a funny story that you will share with people later on. That's how these relationships get made. But that will happen less and less the more polarizing or the more oppressive that we are unintentionally to one another. Mm-hmm. Or the more negative that I am, right? It turns people off when I'm just pointing at everything that's wrong instead of helping make anything right. And so it's very easy for any of us.
I just want to play a soundbite of Marion Gooding doing his Harry Carey impersonation. That'll make you laugh. He does such
so funny.
Marion Gooding is Sarah Gooding's husband, And one time we went down to Word Camp Miami and he was doing a Harry Carey impersonation in the car. And I swear, if I didn't know any better, John was this the giddiest little school girl I've ever heard of. He was just
so it makes me laugh today. It's so hilarious. And it's because Marianne is just so funny, but it was like, it was so,
now that guy's a character.
He is a character. And so there's, is it Mel Blanc is like the voice of Bugs Bunny. And he's like largely heralded as being like one of the best voice actors in history. And the example that I think that people use is like, he has his own voice, right? But then he would have to do Bugs Bunny's voice. And then he would do Daffy Duck's voice in impersonating Bugs Bunny. But then Daffy Duck is dressed like a woman, and so it has like a female inflection on it. And so how do you layer all these personalities and these traits on top of one another with an impersonation or with a voice? And so like there are people, like I have a friend, Ben, who's like a close personal friend here, who can do that. He's just so talented, and it's hilarious. And Marianne has the same sort of ability. It's just so freaking funny. That's why I'm excited for in-person word camps again, if I had a white whale of WordPress software, and there are things I wish we could do with BB Press and things I wish that we would do eventually with Buddy Press. But my goal ultimately is I want the experience that we are talking about now, that just rush of hilarity, and the feeling of it being so fun and funny, but I want that on the internet. Like I want that with open source software that we build together that helps us communicate in a happy, fun, healthy kind of way. And like we've tried that with forums.
Somehow, way we can just make it all good. Make open source a good time.
That is what I want from all of them. That's like why I've spent the majority of my career thinking about and studying and focusing on like the ways that we communicate and interact with one another online, is just because I think the unbridled joy of just giggling together with other people about something is so stupid that is amazing. Is just the goal of all of it. Is like, that is why we do what we do. We can talk about a work-life balance, and we can talk about working from home and distributed companies and how great that they are, the free time that it gives you, and four-day work weeks and all this stuff. And like that, the reason we do all of that is so that we can put it aside and hang out with one another and have a good time. Like if we're not doing it because we want to have a good time, even the goal of like putting together a business, having a company of 100 people or 1,000 people, like, but yes, you have goals and there are things you want to achieve and things you want to build and problems you want to solve and art you want to put down and creativity that you want to put out. But the goal in life of all of this is to just make it happy and fun and good. It's very easy to lose track of that. And I think about it like every day. And so by the time that I have tweeted something negative about Gutenberg or something else, I have already gone through the like mental journey of like, man, I was just trying to have a good time and like be creative and have fun.
Gutenberg said and, no.
And then like it got in the way or it prevent. And like now I have to do work during a time where I was trying to have fun. And so it's like, it's those times that I personally struggle with like seeing the bright side on or like getting pulled out of it. Would be the equivalent of, you know, that moment that we had at WordCamp Miami together, where I'm just cackling, laughing, and everyone in the whole plaza can just hear me geeking out, that like someone comes in and goes, you guys got to, you got to get out of here. You got to shut it down. No more fun. You guys got your fun's over. Fun's over. And now you have to mop the floors. So stop laughing. Here's a mop. You have to clean this up. It's not even your mess. You're going to clean up other people's messes as punishment for having fun. And like, what about the people who made the mess? Nope, we don't know who they are. It doesn't matter. They got off scot-free. You're getting punished for something that they did.
And then you can't even use a mop because there's a JSON error.
There is an error. There is the mop bucket's leaking. It's full of chemicals. Like it's all toxic and terrible. And like it's difficult for me at that moment to be like, yeah, that was a good time. Let's mop this floor. I just can't. I have a hard time pulling myself up out of that. And it's like, this is like a top 10 episode for me. And we haven't even had 10 episodes in this show yet.
And we've already hit an hour, but I wanted to end it on a more positive note. Well, I think we're being positive. So actually I'm a bit sleepy today. I actually stayed up till about 5 a.m. this morning. Between 4 and 5 a.m., I've been doing this now for the past couple nights, but we've had some really clear skies. And during this time of the year, it's so awesome because the summer nights in August sound so much different than like a summer night in June or July, just because of the different bugs and things you can hear. But this morning I was standing outside and I was looking up and I saw about 8 meteors. 2 of them had very bright tails. I saw a bunch of junk up in the sky floating around. I heard some barred owls. I heard some crickets and the anxiety went away. And I was just looking up and, you know, it's at night when you have a clear sky, people, you know, I really encourage people to just look up at the stars, look up at the possibilities, look at the planets, look at Jupiter and just, you know, and just think, you know, and just put yourself out there. And I bring all this up because next Friday, I think it's the 12th or 13th is the annual Perseid meteor shower. And it's one of the best times of the year. It's usually between 15, 60 degrees out. Sometimes it's warmer depending on where you're at, but you know, you could just lay back. Last year during COVID between 3 and 4 AM, we actually saw it was like a burst. And man, if you've never seen a burst of meteors in the sky, it is something else. It is just a really cool experience. So I really encourage anybody out there, if you can, if you're able to, or even if you need to do a short drive, that between the hours of 1 and 5 a.m. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if you can, get outside, take a look up. They usually emanate from the point of Perseus, the constellation, which is typically in the northeastern part of the sky late at night. But if you just look up, You'll see them all over the place. They don't appear in a particular place. And the best part of this year, as opposed to last year, is that there's no moon. The moon sets early in the night. So it's just all night sky. And I was just thinking about that it's just, I was just standing out there breathing in the night air and listening to the things going on in the summer. My anxiety went away and just seeing those streaks of light go across the sky. It's just a real positive, energetic time for me. And I'd like to encourage those who are listening to give it a shot.
And I will second that. Carrie and I went camping at Rock Island, Wisconsin, a couple of weeks ago. And I mean, for you may not know this about me, Jeff, but I really like being inside. I like being in front of a computer. It's where I feel creative. It's where I feel comfortable. And whether or not that's healthy or its own coping mechanism, it's sort of hard to say. But some friends of ours have had their families had a campsite on Rock Island for years and years and years. And so for about the past 5 years now, they have said, John, Carrie, you have to come to Rock Island. We go every July. You have to come. And like most of the year, I'm like, yeah, we'll totally go next year. And then it starts to creep up and we're like, I don't know about this, because you have to it's two islands off the sort of thumb of the state of Wisconsin, and so you drive for us, which was a 4.5 or 5 hour drive, and then you take a ferry to Washington Island in your car, and you park your car and you take a second ferry with all of your belongings to Rock Island, which has like no electricity. They have some solar powered stuff just for convenience sake. There's one bathroom on the whole island. There's some outhouses and pits that you can go in if you need to. But other than that, you are like camping. Like, you are legit on an island where there's nothing but what you brought with you. And so we went to Rock Island this year. We went a couple of weeks ago, and it was weird because we didn't have the dogs with us. And so that feels a little weird and lonely, but like, it was cool because we were with people we trusted, with friends and a big family and high energy, lots of kids running around, and they were having a blast and good time. We brought tons of food and sat by the campfire, did all the campfire stuff, and then just were outside or in a tent for like 3 solid days straight. And like, we are going to go camping again because it was like, it was its own therapy, right? It was, you got to sit outside and look up at the stars and whenever you wanted to. And yeah, there were things that were not super great. There were snakes and bats and creatures, you know, that live on this island. We were like, oh, like, this is serious. We could probably die here. But we didn't. And it was fun. And it, like, we had good stories to tell from this camping trip and experience. And so, like, it's like, if I really do, that's, I mean, I hopefully our listeners can't really tell, but like, we're recording this.
So
I'm,
we're highly encouraging people to just get outdoors.
I'm outside right now. I'm in our garage with the doors open, with a dumb with a table nice breeze set up, and a little bit of a breeze in the background. And like, if you want to feel good, just go outside. If you want to feel like melancholy and maybe insignificant and hopeless, then I think you move your neck 45 degrees up and look at the sky. But, you know,
is that how you feel when you look up and go,
man,
God, it sucks that there's nobody else out there that we know of yet.
Well, it kind of is.
I'm so lonely.
Like, the show is, I mean, I'm not really lonely, I've
played games like Elite Dangerous, and there's an awesome game on Steam. Well, it's not really a game, but it's kind of like a simulator called Space Engine. Mm-hmm. Man, you want to talk about feeling lonely. You go into those games where it's kind of like a simulation of our galaxy.
Yeah.
Every little point of light is like a star or a galaxy or something. And when you even like the images from the Hubble Space Telescope, you're like, each little point of light is something. It's a planet, uh-huh. It's a galaxy, whatever. And it's like, it really does. When you see all of that and then realize that, you know, so far, the only thing we know is that we're the only ones out here. Mm-hmm. It can get pretty somber.
Yeah. It is. Looking up in the sky is like the one thing that, like, it almost instantly triggers for me, like, not just like the megalophobia.
We've only got one chance.
Of like, yeah, this is it, man. Like, I'm at my 4.0 version. I'm 4.2. I'm 42 years old. Maybe I'll make it to a 10.0. Buddy Press 10 is about to come out soon, but the 10th version of me is 100 years old. I'm almost halfway through. I don't have very much time to get done what it is I want to try and accomplish. And so looking up in the sky is it very much like makes me feel like, oh, this is so insignificant and none of this matters. And like, but at the same time, like, it is very freeing. Where like, if none of this matters, can I just unplug myself from this matrix and like come out somewhere else different? Like the same friend of ours that wanted us to go camping. We talk about it all the time. Almost every time we go and get a haircut, he's like, man, I just want to be away from, I want to go live in the woods and just get away from tech and all of it and just be like, just abandon it, pull the cord and jump out of the plane and just be like, I'm done. I'm out. And so looking up in the sky is the thing that makes me very much feel like, oh, this life is so weird. It's all just so random.
And you know what I want to do? I just want to disconnect from tech. I want to grab my backpack, a walking stick, illegally hop a train and just go train hopping. Let's go ride around in the country like a hobo.
You should do it. You should, of course. This is the worst advice that anyone will ever give you.
I'm so scared of trespassing, man. I'm so scared to hop on the board of train and do all that stuff.
But you're so nice. Like, you could easily be like, hi, I'm Jeff. And like, have it work. I think. I've watched
so many tutorials on YouTube. I know which cars to ride, where to go, hop out, catch out spots. I've done all the research already.
You should do this.
I put a padlock inside of a sock, and I got a nice weapon. So I mean, that's. So, you know, there's
I like that you instinctively already just went straight to defending yourself. Yeah. Or maybe like use. Yeah, I don't. Let's. I see. Right. This is.
Yeah, so what we're going to do here is we're going to wrap this up. And as far as what's going on in the WordPress world, there's some things that are going on. There's always things going on, but there's not really anything that's like, oh my God, you really should know about type of news. If there was, we would have told you about it. I will say that maybe keep an eye out. Jetpack 10.0, I think, was just recently released. And there are some people who are reporting that their settings or configurations for some of their widgets or plugins have just disappeared. That seems like a bad bug. And some people have reported it, and they have confirmed that it has happened to some people. So keep an eye out for maybe a point release for Jetpack, or maybe hold off on updating the 10.0 if you can, and wait till that's fixed. Other than that, I mean, there's a lengthy discussion that continues about how difficult or not it is for new and existing developers to get involved with WordPress, to contribute to WordPress through JavaScript. And it's been great to see that kind of conversation taking place finally on different blogs, you know, not just Twitter, but people were actually like, it's like, oh my God, I have a blog. I can like write stuff here. That's more than 240 characters and it doesn't disappear, you know, after a short period of time. So it's nice to see people getting involved again with blogs and linking to each other. And you know, I'm checking my email. Hey, I got a check back. How about that? It's not spam. So that's been nice to see.
That's cool. Yeah, definitely. What's the what's our protocol on plugging our own stuff at the end of the show? I think it's doable. Is that allowed? I would love it if folks checked out Sugar Calendar and gave our advanced recurring add-on a try, since that was something I had been working on for the past at least a year, maybe a little bit more.
But yeah, that's something that was giving you headaches. Yeah, right there.
It definitely was. You want to talk about, you know,
we were talking about it on the after shows like last year when you were working on it. You're like, man, this is all this thing with like, what was it, like recurring or dealing with dates or numbers? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is, we're going to have to reinvent this.
It was definitely weird. We could talk about it on a different episode, different day, but just plug Sugar Calendar and the advanced recurring add-on. There's a lot of work. It works really great. It's really freaking cool, actually. And it's cool in a way it shouldn't be, because it's just a calendar and it's just recurring events, but it works super well. And then I would like to leave our listeners, if I can, with a question and a thought and polling our audience, which is, I have a plugin that I really like a lot that I have wanted to monetize for a long time and haven't. And so the WP User Profiles plugin.
Wow.
Is like sort of all the things that BuddyPress couldn't be, and all of the things that we couldn't do on WordPress.com when I was there, and some of the things that I think that sort of WordPress needs when it comes to the user profile screen. And like we talked about in the beginning of the show, or even in the pre-show, is like, I really think it's good. I think it's got potential. I think it has a future. But I think the only way to get there is probably to sell add-ons, or to have there be some kind of way to build it up and build a team behind it. And I'm learning how to do that in the way that everyone has already learned how to do it far, far before me. And so if folks wanted to check it out, it's always been on WordPress.org for free. I'll probably buy a domain name. I'll probably try to do something with it. but I'm curious what folks would want from it, or if they think that it's a good idea, or if there's a need, or if this is a product that would be worth bringing to the WordPress market for real.
I actually have something to plug.
Do it. It's our show, right?
WP Mainline. I opened up subscriptions onto the website. So if you visit WPMainline.com, click on the subscribe link. You can choose between the Railfan level and the Railbuff level. Only difference between the two is price and how much of a financial contribution you want to make to the site right now. It's you're not going to get any extra content or anything like that. We're going to be in a simple relationship. You give me money and I make content. That's that's how it works. I want to say a special shout out and thank you to everyone out there who has subscribed to the site. Because of you, I'm able to pay off a couple bills. You know, I got a few less people calling me wanting their money. So that's been pretty nice. And if you enjoy the show and you want me to keep going and you want to contribute to me being able to pay my bills and keep the train rolling, you know, feel free to subscribe. You know, I'd really appreciate it. Every little bit helps. So check it out, WPMainline.com. And as you're viewing show notes for this episode, you can like click the subscribe link in another tab and just like go through the process and give me some money. It'd be nice. So that'd be nice. Nice for me. So that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. You can find the show notes and for this episode and all other episodes on WPMainline.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffer, JEFFR0. And John?
You could check out Sugar Calendar at sugarcalendar.com. You could check out the WP User Profiles plugin just by searching the plugin repository for WP User Profiles. It's also on GitHub, and I've got my own GitLab where I have a branch and stuff too. But you can follow me at JJJ on Twitter or GitHub, or JJJ.blog, where every episode I feel like I try to remind myself to blog more and then I don't. So maybe this week I will.
Yeah, maybe this week, maybe next week, maybe the week after, maybe after you go camping, maybe 3 years after that. I don't know. But all right, everybody, enjoy. Have a safe, enjoyable weekend. We'll talk to you again next week, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.